Here goes nothing.
Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I'm Jamie Hill. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hi, baby.
Hi.
How you doing?
You ought to know because we haven't been not in the same room as each other for many days now.
Which, honestly, is
kind of normal.
It's the same as usual. It's weird. Like, we have been prepping for a global pandemic, it turns out, for our, like, last decade of our lives. Because all we ever do in this time of year is we stay around the house and we work really hard on this year's crop of of art things that we're making.
Yep.
We go routinely without leaving the house for 3, 4, 5 days at a time anyway in this time of year. So really, this feels both normal and not normal at the very same time.
Yeah, totally. And we're going to talk a lot about that today, but mostly to answer your question, I'm good.
Yeah.
How about you?
I'm hanging in there.
Okay.
I wouldn't say I'm good. I'm really anxious, but you know, I'm healthy right now and I don't have any aggravated risk factors or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm counting my blessings there and, you know, one moment at a time right now.
Yeah.
I'd like to welcome our new listeners.
Hi, new listeners.
Hi there, people.
Are you at home looking for things to do? And so you're like, yeah, I'll check out this Misfit Stars podcast.
I could only imagine that we'll have a little bit of a surge of new listeners over the next week or so, right? Just people being like, you know, they've been talking about this for a while. I'm finally bored enough that I'm going to listen to it.
Well, and I'm glad you're here because, you know, what we aim to do, one of the things we aim to do with this podcast is to just talk with each other on microphones about the real stuff that we're facing in our lives. And it turns out that we as a planet are facing some real stuff together, collectively and individually right now. And so, you know, we hope that this will be a time for you to just feel like whatever it is, however it is that you're dealing with this time, that you're just not alone,
yeah.
You know, and that maybe we can be of service to you by talking through how we're experiencing it. And so that's what we hope. So welcome. We're glad you're here.
So glad. Hey, while you're here, if you've been listening for a minute and you like the podcast, please consider leaving a glowing 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. You know, you go to either place, you find Misfit Stars, you click that 5th star to leave that 5-star rating. And then you write some more words about how much you like us and how great we are. And first of all, thanks. So kind of you. Oh my gosh, that's really nice that you think that. Really means a lot in this time. And second of all, it'll help other people discover this podcast.
Other people who are also at home looking for things to do during self-isolation.
Yeah.
You're going to help them find this podcast by giving us a rate and review. So thank you.
Yeah. Algorithms will persist in a global pandemic. They may be the only thing. We'll see.
Robots shall survive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh man. So let's just dive right into it. So what's our experience been this last week?
Yeah, we're going to talk this episode just really about all the stuff that we've been going through, thoughts we've been having about this coronavirus stuff. And yeah, this week, you know, last week we recorded our last episode of this last Tuesday. And I think we maybe mentioned coronavirus like in passing.
Maybe.
It was obviously starting to become a big deal, a biggish deal, but not a big enough deal that it felt like it merited, you know, a whole section on the podcast last week.
No.
Things have changed.
Oh my gosh,
in
things
the last
are changing
week.
Minute by minute.
I keep thinking about like time markers like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, a week ago today, we were recording last week's podcast. And I think that, oh my gosh, that was only a week ago. It feels like a freaking year.
Yeah. One week ago, the thing that felt most urgent to us to talk about was feminism. Oh, how things have changed.
I know. I mean, hey, still important, but still, the priorities have shifted for sure.
And it's really weird. Like, there are markers like this in history, you know, like where they're so extreme that anyone who's not talking about it, it's just like, what are you doing? I was remarking to you the other day that like this moment really gives the lie to scheduled posts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whenever I see some like corporate Twitter account and it's like at exactly 3:00 in the afternoon, there's like some scheduled thing about some uplifting message and it's not about coronavirus. It's like, what are you doing?
This is the only thing kind of.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. So the last week has been just, I've stopped a number of times over the last week. I'm like, wait, did that just happen yesterday? You know, like, you know.
Do you remember 3 years ago when the presidential debate happened?
Yeah.
On Sunday.
Yeah, it's been a really strange time. So like, yeah, last week we recorded our podcast. We were last week at this time, we were also getting on board with the idea that we were probably going to need to get some supplies of food around the house to make sure that we had stuff in case we got sick or in case we needed to stay home for an extended period of time. So we had started to go out and do like a Costco run and a grocery store run and And anyway, we went out and did those things. And honestly, I didn't feel on the first round of that earlier last week, I didn't feel like the atmosphere in our city was anything unusual, really. There were still things available on shelves and, yeah. and I didn't get the sense that people were rushing around in a panic or anything like that.
No.
And I feel like when we went out for our very last grocery run, like was it last Thursday or something like that, before we really hunkered down for realsies, there were starting to be like, some emptier shelves with some items.
Yep.
And I still didn't, I have to say, kudos to our community. I still didn't experience anyone being an a-hole.
Yep.
in stores.
Yeah.
I really feel like my experience with the people around us was that people were really genuinely trying to be kind and courteous and community minded.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that, about our community.
Yeah. If anything, it seemed like over the last week, people have been like a little bit extra nice. Which has been really good,
Yeah.
I think that everyone just gets the idea that maybe everyone's in a really fraught, sensitive place right now,
Mm-hmm.
So that's been good. That's been really helpful.
Yeah, and so we've been hunkered down. We've been taking the advice seriously since late last week.
We have not had contact with another human since when we went to, we made one errand on, it was Saturday. We left the house one time on Saturday, and we had contact with one single other human being at a local distillery who gave us each one small bottle of homemade hand sanitizer so we could give it to our neighbor who's high risk.
Yes.
We left it on her porch after having sanitized it.
Right. That was the last time that we had interaction. Yeah.
So that's it.
So yeah, we've been taking that seriously because that seems like the right thing to do, and we have the ability to do that. We work from home at this time of year, so there's no reason for us to be leaving the house and spreading germs.
Yeah, and so what we've been doing while we've been here at home, first of all, we've just been doing the work that we need to be doing in this time because, work does continue. And the other thing is we've been spending an inordinate amount of time getting ourselves educated and then also trying to help educate other people.
Yeah, it's so strange. It's strange because, I don't feel like we've been getting reliable, consistent, centralized information.
No, not from the federal government.
Yeah, it's been a patchwork of trying to figure out the people who are on the ground and giving the best kind of advice from a scientific perspective.
Yeah.
Because there hasn't been a centralized, reliable source.
No, I mean, let's keep it super honest. The president, like with every other thing he does in his life, has just been just making shit up on the fly, i.e. lying.
Yeah.
Just constantly, And sometimes I think he's lying on purpose. Sometimes I just think he says what he thinks will sound good in the moment.
Yeah.
But it's not helpful.
No.
It's just this steady stream of misinformation, contradictions, half-truths, and falsehoods.
Yeah.
And in a time like this, my uncle, my uncle Charlie, phrased this memorably to me in a phone conversation we had yesterday. He said, "You can't gaslight a pandemic."
Right.
It's right. Just really, the pandemic doesn't give a shit whether you're a Fox News watcher and are on board with what the president has to say.
No, absolutely not. And I saw someone on some social media site yesterday saying, and I just really resonated with this thought, that all the reasons why I was crying on the election night 2016, I didn't know exactly what the reasons were that I was crying for.
Yeah.
And now this is it. Mm-hmm. This is the worst possible scenario come true for having a completely incompetent and malevolent person in leadership of the most powerful nation on earth.
Yeah, man.
This is it. This is chickens coming home to roost right now. And it's profoundly sad. This is the reason I got no sleep the night of election 2016.
Sure.
This is the reason I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
This is not going to be good. And someone else was mentioning yesterday that I saw someone here we are. We were in the month of March and we were having presidential debates and we're thinking, man, maybe we can run out the clock on some major disaster that exposes the weaknesses of this inept administration. And no.
Sadly, no.
That's not actually how that's panning out.
Yeah, man. I mean, every single person who voted for this guy held their nose and voted for this guy because they thought they could achieve their policy objectives even with a distasteful person in the White House.
That was not a wise decision.
This is the interest coming due on that loan.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's good times.
Loaning your soul instead of selling your soul.
mortgaging your soul to the devil, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Payment due, motherfuckers.
And, gosh, and here's the thing.
Sorry about the language.
Yeah. I know this is going to be our first, like, explicitly explicit episode.
Right. I feel like sometimes, you know, extraordinary times call for extraordinary measures. And if that means in a global pandemic, I say MFers on air. Hey, you know what I mean? Courses for courses.
A time to dance, a time to swear.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, time
to say mother effers on your podcast.
On the air. You should have said on the air.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
I'll edit it. Total fail.
You know,
this is why Shannon's a songwriter.
Here's, don't be fooled. I use a thesaurus in a rhyming dictionary. So, yes, I have had moments of like, in this last week, of just seething, unbottled rage at all the people who voted to make this our reality right now.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that a global pandemic wouldn't have been a massive challenge for any kind of an administration.
But imagine if the person leading it didn't view it as a threat to their ego.
Exactly.
And therefore, when they first heard about it 2 months ago, did a whole bunch of stuff.
Yes, I know. It could have been, yes. So yes. But so even though my unbridled rage has flared up at people who voted to make this our reality, at the same time, and this is like an exercise in holding like opposites at the same time, mm-hmm. at the same time as my absolute rage, we're still all in this boat together. And like,
yeah.
You know, express it. I think it's good to express that rage. It's good to express that feeling. But at the same time, it's still our responsibility. It's still my responsibility to look after people who voted that way.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? And maybe
especially because there's a big crossover in that population of people with people who are getting bad information somewhere between misinformation and propaganda from sketchy right-wing media sources,
Fox
right?
Fox News specifically.
Yep, Fox News, Breitbart, et cetera.
Yeah.
The Washington Examiner. There's a whole constellation of these information sources, and they're all doing really bad work. I mean, even to their credit, even Fox News finally is on board. My sister sent me this like article on foxnews.com from this morning saying, here are all the things you need to be doing right now to help combat the coronavirus. And it was dead on accurate.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. It's a week late.
It's a few weeks late, A, and B, will it undo the pervasive tone of mockery and disinformation that has preceded it? Like, so loudly for the previous 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like Laura Ingraham and Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity for the past like 3 solid weeks, as far as I can tell from just, you know, reading about it on Twitter and watching news clips,
mm-hmm.
have the prevailing point of view is that this is not going to be that bad. This is a flu. This is a liberal media hoax,
right,
designed to take down President Trump. Go about your lives. Don't live in fear. You know, playing on the whole like macho American, be tough, don't do what the man says, go out and live your life, right? Like, they are going to have killed so many people once it's all said and done.
Well, and this is personal too, right? Like, we've had a personal experience with this last week.
Yeah, we did. So my parents are a couple of those Fox News viewers who are getting bad information, who have been hearing Tucker Carlson and others say that this isn't that big of a deal.
And we've talked about, you know, our parents, you know, consumption of right-wing media and the bad information recently, mm-hmm. on this podcast,
yep.
right? And like, your parents are really smart people.
Very smart.
Your dad was educated at Dartmouth.
My mom has a postgraduate degree.
They are very, very smart folks, you know, and still, you know, had been saturated in this like blasé coverage of,
yep.
you know, of this thing. And
and,
yeah.
they've brainwashed themselves over the last 20 years. You know, they started out watching Fox when, you know, 20 years ago when it was a right wing but still pretty reasonable news source. You know, it was good news, factual news with like really good factual news 20 years ago on Fox News.
Mm.
Like their hard news coverage was really, really good. And their opinion stuff was right wing. But then, you know, it started out, there was Hannity and Combs, right? It was right wing and left wing, you know, like a
right.
like a a contrasting viewpoints kind of thing. And then Combs kind of went away. It was just Hannity. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then Shep Smith went away many years later in the news. Like, it has just changed, you know? Mm-hmm. And they have just been, they got sucked in. They have just gotten sucked into that thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they've been brainwashed. And they believe bad sources now, like a whole lot of other people in this country do. Mm-hmm. And so I had this really alarming conversation with both of my parents. It was Thursday when we were driving around doing that last grocery run. You know, and I called them. Because it was becoming quickly and readily apparent to me that we absolutely had to keep my mom away from this virus. Because my mom is immunocompromised and pretty heavily so. She has smoked her whole life. She's quit very, very recently. But I mean, she smoked for 55 years up until like a week ago. You know what I mean? Right. Like she has COPD. She has emphysema. She's underweight. She's not in a position to battle this virus just on the merits, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if she gets it, it might well take her out. Mm-hmm. And if she's one of the first people to get it because she's so immunocompromised and she gets it at the surge and their local healthcare system is overwhelmed and it's down to between her and an otherwise healthy 30-year-old person, you know, competing for a ventilator, they're not going to give it to my mom.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we've got to keep her from getting this right now, at least. Hopefully, I mean, she'll probably get it eventually. Most of us will. 50% of us probably will, right? And like, if my dad, if there's a two-person household, probably both people are getting it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And to be clear, too, the thing that really opened my eyes last week was when the reports started coming out of Italy. And I imagine that a lot of you listening right now have also read these reports. But if any of you haven't, for whatever reason, you know, the stuff that was coming out of Italy last week, who is like 2 weeks ahead of us in terms of our community spread of the virus. Italy last week was in a position where their healthcare system was so overrun that they were having to make wartime-like triage decisions about who gets care and who does not.
Like I was describing with the hypothetical ventilator situation.
Exactly. So, you know, limited access, limited availability for the life-saving treatment that people need, and with when faced with, you know, we've got one bed open, you know, or we've got, you know, multiple patients coming in. We've got a patient who's, you know, in their 70s and doesn't have a very high risk or high chance of surviving this that is already on the ventilator. Pulling that person off and giving it to somebody who has longer years to live and a better chance of survival. That's happening. It was happening a week ago already in Italy, and that was a huge eye-opener for me. And
nurses are being trained in Seattle, 26 miles up the road from us right now, on how to do that kind of triaging protocol.
And how to have conversations with patients and families.
In anticipation of that being the reality here soon. It's really wild.
Yeah.
And so my mom. So I called, you know, with the basic objective being to make sure that they are, like, not leaving the house, doing complete, sheltering at home version of isolation.
Yeah.
You know, not going out really for anything. Mm-hmm. Get your groceries delivered. Stay at home.
Yeah.
And I just got incredible pushback from my dad. And my dad, I mean, to be fair, it's not just this. His whole life, even before he was a Fox News Republican, his whole attitude about things was, if it doesn't affect him personally, if he can't see it in the moment, he's like, I'm not worried about that. It's not going to be that big a deal. He's pretty happy-go-lucky, you know? That, like, happy-go-lucky is like the positive side of that aspect of his personality. Mm-hmm. And I have inherited that from him, you know? I'm not innately a worrier.
Right.
I tend to think optimistically about things. Mm-hmm. But I've also learned from my experience of dealing with him in my life that, like, it hasn't always worked out really well for him, because the very big downside to that point of view is it can lead to a real denial-based way of thinking about things, you know? And this, for sure, is verging much more on that, you know? Last week, he's like, I don't think it's going to be that bad. I'm gonna mostly socially isolate, you know, which is like being mostly pregnant, right?
Right.
Like, you're either going to socially isolate or you're not going to, and that's it. It's a real binary kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's,
when it comes to a novel virus that no human has encountered before, every human who gets in contact with this virus will get sick.
Yeah.
There's no maybe or maybe not. Like, it's gonna happen. And so, like, to entertain the idea of maybe going to the gym during this time.
Oh my gosh.
You know, and like, whatever he exposes himself to, your mom's exposed to.
Yep.
You know, there's no gray area here.
No.
And it was frustrating to hear him not accept that knowledge.
Yeah, it really was. And I tried, and he got frustrated. And so, you know, I was just like, put mom on. Right? Because, like, my mom will listen to me more. You know what I mean? She doesn't have that built-in thing that my dad has. And I want also, by the way, just to insert into this, like, I love my parents very much. We have a great relationship. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not like we have a tense or fraught or distant relationship. We talk all the time. We're thick as thieves. You know, and so for me, that just gives me more urgency because it's not like I sort of dislike them and it's like, well, screw you guys then. You know what I mean? Right. Fine, go kill yourselves. That's not how I feel about it at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel exactly the opposite.
Yeah.
And so,
which is why this is so stressful.
Yeah, I talked to my mom and she gave me she listened a bit more. Like, she didn't outright reject what I had to say, but she also just like, she was giving me more like reasoned intellectual pushback. You know what I mean? Mm. Which is equally unhelpful. Mm-hmm. And so I started on this campaign of
virus
like...
Virus doesn't care about your intellectual reasoning.
My gosh. Seriously. Again, you can't gaslight a pandemic, right? And so you can't reason with a pandemic either, you know?
No, you can't.
Other things you can't do with a pandemic, shoot it with bullets, you know?
Wipe it with toilet paper.
Yep. Ammo and 9,000... rolls of TP are two things that will not help you in a pandemic.
No, yeah. Okay, I interrupted you. I'm sorry. Yeah. So she said what?
So, she was just pushing back. And I got off that phone call feeling like I had not really had much success. Like, I didn't feel good at all about, how they were planning or not planning on dealing with this.
Yeah.
And so I just sort of started on this kind of email campaign to her because I know, like, sometimes with people, like, if you say something to them directly in real time, it can put pressure on them. You know what I mean? And maybe they will double down or entrench more in their position. And sometimes it can be really helpful if you feel that starting to happen to just stop the direct real-time conversation and just put something in a text, put something in an email if it's longer and you got to type it on a keyboard and not your thumbs, you know? And so it's asynchronous. So they can read it, digest it in their own time and then think about it and then reply in their own time, you know? So it's not that kind of immediate pressure kind of thing.
Right.
And so, I did that, and there were sections of this email I sent her that were like bolded and in all caps and underlined saying, "Mom will die." You know what I mean?
If you do this, mom will die.
Seriously. Yeah. Or if you don't do this or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, and I copied my sister on it. So there was accountability.
Yeah.
Because that's a good thing to do. And so, I couched all of it also in context of like, I love you guys so much and I want to have two parents a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like an open question to me right now whether I will have two parents a year from now because frankly, the cavalier attitude with which they treated this containment paradigm over the preceding week may already have put them in a situation where it's too late. Yeah. They're being really good about it now.
Yeah.
That is the postscript to this.
God.
Like the pressure that I put on and my sister put on really seems over the last 4 days to have worked. I had a phone call with my dad yesterday, just called him up to see how things are going. And he, without being prompted or me asking, was bragging about all the different, about how well they're isolating, how they're going out for walks to get exercise. But like when we see another person, which isn't very frequently because everyone's staying indoors, we detour up a driveway and walk at least 10 feet up and wave to them as they go by and then wait until they're 10 feet past and then continue the opposite direction.
A+. Yeah, good job.
They're doing great.
Gold stars.
They're doing great now, you know? But how much of that is, putting a third padlock on the barn door after the horse has gotten out?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I worry about it a lot.
And I know,
which doesn't add value, but I can't stop.
Yeah, I know. I know it.
Yeah.
I get it. And you're not the only, we are not the only people in this this position. You know, there's a lot of other folks out there who are facing the exact same scenario with their loved ones. And, if you're one of those people, one of the things that was helpful, even though like it didn't really reduce the stress, I think that we were feeling about this, one of the things that was helpful to remember is that there is only so much that we can do in that situation. You can only do your part of things. We can never do another person's part.
No.
And, this is one of those recovery tools that I feel like has been really helpful in this last week.
That's
true. That, yes, we're doing our damnedest to try to convince the people that we love and people that we know to behave responsibly in this time and to do the right thing and to do it, even if it feels like overreacting, even if it feels like eventually it will seem like an overreaction, it just means it was successful.
That's it.
But like we're doing our part to try to convince people to do it. And that's where our responsibility ends. And it's not like you feel better about it, but it is something of a, there's some element of being able to to let go after you've done your part.
Yeah, that's...
And continue to do your part.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
It's not, it doesn't feel good, but it's somewhat helpful.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as with every other aspect of life, like figuring out how to be of service in a fraught situation is probably the best thing that you can do for yourself and how you feel about the situation.
Yeah.
You know, I know, you know, like you and I made a list of how we've been experiencing stress in this time, mm-hmm. like and things that have felt good and mm-hmm. have not felt so good, and tools. And the things that have felt good have been, you know, talking with each other a whole lot, obviously, just like really checking in.
Constant check-ins.
And not keeping stuff inside.
Yeah.
You know, you and I are talking all day, every day right now about stuff.
Yeah.
Checking with family members a lot feels really good, just keeping those ties mm-hmm. really close.
Friends too. We've had like ongoing text conversations with a number of groups of friends.
Yep.
Just, you know, it feels important to touch base.
Yeah, it really does.
You know,
and especially because a lot of them are dealing with the exact same stuff that we're dealing with. We have multiple mm-hmm. friends because a lot of our friends are our age, right? Mid to late 40s, which means that all of our parents are in that critical 70 to 80 age group.
Right.
You know, which by the way is the age group that's getting taken out the most right now.
Yeah.
Like we have about 100 coronavirus deaths so far in the United States. This is as of, you know, Tuesday, March 17th at 4 p.m, West Coast time.
Yeah.
You know, and like the vast majority of them have been people in their 70s.
Right.
Like 60% of them or something have been mm-hmm. people in their 70s, which mm-hmm. is overwhelming. And by just a terrible coincidence, like people in their 70s are of that generation where for whatever reason, they're terrible at listening and terrible at taking information on board. They're just like that group of people, you know, and let's call them what they are. They're boomers,
yeah.
You know, God bless them. You know, the way they were raised culturally is to feel that their opinion, if their education and their opinion trump expertise, or at least are as good as it. You know, this whole thing, like it's my dad is the quintessential, you know, person for this. Like his whole idea is that, well, I'm smart, I'm educated, I read a lot of things. And so, yeah, experts are fine, but I'm also real smart and I can form my own conclusions. You know
what
I mean?
You're not an epidemiologist.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's
do you think that that's like a generation-wide generalization?
Absolutely.
You do?
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, there's a ton of exceptions, but
yeah.
I think that it is an accurate thing that you can say about a broad swath of that population.
Mm.
You know? I obviously know a bunch of people in their 70s who are very eager to take new information on board and process it. And we're friends with a ton of them, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that like generationally speaking, that's, you know, painting with a broad brush a characteristic. It's something I've just personally observed a whole lot of the time, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah, just this whole like, no. You know what it really feels like to me, more specifically, is this idea, this generational idea that for them, like rules are good for other people. But don't necessarily apply to them if they have a better idea.
Right.
You know what I mean? I've noted that behavior in my dad and in other people in that generation a whole heck of a lot, and not just about stuff like this, but going back my entire life, you know?
Yeah, you know, I think that is something that would be worth digging into. I don't know. It would be hard for me to say that that's true of boomers generally. I mean, it could be that that's been your experience of your dad, and he's the boomer you know best.
Sure.
You know, although he's technically not a boomer.
And my mom and my uncle, not my other uncle, right? So there's an exception and, you know, but a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting thought. But it's certainly presenting a challenge in this particular time.
Or could this be my family's populated with like, you know, just brick-headed idiots? I don't know. It's a possibility. I could indeed be one of them. So you probably shouldn't be listening to me about this at all. Do not listen to me.
Oh, man.
One in a line of brick-headed idiots.
You know, we're doing our best. You're doing your best to try to learn. And that's one of the things that we've been spending a lot of our time this last week doing is just trying to educate ourselves and helping to... We feel like one of the ways that we could be of services as we're learning things, you know, to spread information as much as possible.
Yeah.
You know, we've been trying to do that. You know, and it's been top of my mind really to be thinking about how we can be of service to people in general in this time. You know, like we checked in on our elderly neighbors, but when we were doing our last grocery run last week to make sure that they were all set, and it seemed like they were. But you know, we've got a vast community of people all over the world who are dealing with this. Everybody's dealing with this right now worldwide. That's so weird. But you know, we we do with our lives, you know, we create things. We mm-hmm. create music, we create experiences, we create community. And it's been top of my mind trying to think of how we can use that entity that we've built around our work life to be of service to people in this time. I'm not exactly sure how that's going to take shape, but it is on my mind.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. Yeah. And it also relates to just the practical plans we have for the rest of our year. I mean, for those of you who know us and know our annual schedule, you know, we this time of year, we're always working on a new record, which we put out in June, and then we get in the car and we go on tour for 3.5 months all over the country
we
doing
do
house concerts. And that's probably not happening this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, you know, we typically start planning our house concert starting at the end of March and into the middle of April. That's
yep.
when we start scheduling our house concerts. So, I mean, I suppose there's the realm of some, you know, possibility that in the next 2 weeks,
this thing will get shut down.
Yeah, I doubt
it. The president said it was just going to disappear one day like a miracle. He said that just like 3 days
ago.
It's
not going to happen.
So maybe it'll just disappear like a miracle. Well, when the weather gets warmer, remember?
Yeah.
That was the other thing.
Yeah.
He said the weather's going to get warmer and it's just going to dry up. And you'll see. And you'll see it. And it'll just be like a miracle.
Yeah, that's not how this stuff
but
works.
But the president said it, Shannon. Yeah,
okay, I just want to be done talking about the president.
Fair.
Yeah, so probably this isn't going to just go away in the next couple weeks.
Point being.
And all of the prognostications that I've been seeing, I've been looking hard for this kind of stuff, looks like, you know, even if we're really successful at our social distancing, mm-hmm. The peak of infections in the U.S. could be coming like mid-July or early July.
July through August.
Yeah. And... you know, and also if we're doing...
And that's in any situation, by the way.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Even if we're really good at social distancing, mm-hmm. right? But then again, if we're still social distancing to keep the curve flattened,
yep.
then we're not doing house concerts.
No.
So it's just becoming clear that, you know, that part of our life this year is very, 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 very likely not happening, which is an interesting challenge for us because just to be completely like frank with y'all, our summer tour generates about 75% of our annual income.
Yeah.
We're kind of like farmers, you know, like this season, this time of year, we're planting and cultivating. And in the summertime is when we reap the harvest
yep.
of the work that we've done.
And then we like sock that away and we live off of that until the next go round.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's interesting. It's like we have canned vegetables on a dwindling pantry shelf right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's weird. Like, we're not out of money now, but we'll run out of money in July.
Yeah.
Which feels like 1,000 years in the future. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. The last week has been 1,000 years already. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So, you know, nothing to worry about in this moment, but for sure something that is, you know, it doesn't feel like it's coming at us like a freight train, but again, it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, so those of you who are listening to us talk about this, and we really try to be as open and frank about our situation as possible. I want you to know that we're not like losing sleep over this.
Nope.
It's not like this is consuming us with worry. It is a concern.
Yep.
I think that would be, you know, and it is motivating us to have to think about some creative ways in which we're going to get by over the next, during this pandemic time.
Yeah.
And we've got some interesting creative ideas. I think we're going to have a whiteboarding session this week to like mm-hmm. really map out some of our plans and thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's a challenge. And I know we're not the only ones facing this kind of thing. There are so many other people who, you know, there are a lot of people who are thankfully able to keep their jobs and work from home mm-hmm. and maintain a life, you know, at least in terms of their financial lives, that looks pretty similar to every other time.
Yeah.
Right. But there are a lot of people for whom that won't be true in this time. You know, other freelancers like us, artists, but also, you know,
gig workers,
people who work in restaurants
service
and bars,
workers.
Service workers who rely on tips for the majority of their income.
Yep.
You know, these are things that just, these are folks that will fall through the cracks in this time. And
unless the federal government undertakes a massive cash-based relief effort.
Right, right. I called all of our representatives yesterday. So did you.
Yep.
And that was one of the things that I, you know, was one of my main points is like, I know that they've been trying to pass a bill. The Senate is holding it up. The first aid bill that the House passed.
Mm-hmm.
It is maddening
yep.
that they... haven't gotten this, that I didn't get this done last Friday. I mean, like, there's no excuse for waiting. But the first aid package, you know, is expanding unemployment insurance and offering, you know, paid sick leave for small companies. And that's a great start, but it leaves out so many people who won't qualify. People who are freelancers and gig workers don't qualify for unemployment insurance.
Yeah, like us, for example.
Like us, for example. We can't go apply for unemployment because we haven't been working for an employer. Yeah.
We've been on our own forever.
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, those kinds of considerations, gig workers, you know, people who are going to, you know, just have lost wages, you know, because their shifts are reduced. Yeah. And so they're not exactly unemployed.
Most people are living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
Right? Like in those kind of jobs.
Right.
I mean, like, what's the statistic? Something like half of this country couldn't sustain an unexpected $400 expense.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I mean, like, map that fact to everyone.
Right.
Like, if you make $400 less at your job, that's an unexpected $400 expense. Half of this country, in terms of population, 180-something million people not prepared to sustain.
Yeah. So, you know, yesterday, I have it right here. The Capitol phone number, the U.S. Capitol switchboard.
The
telephone number. You can call. And I'm going to wait for you to get a pen right now. Are you getting a pen? Okay.
You could type it in your phone.
You could type into your phone. That works too. Not if you're driving, though.
No.
The number is area code 202-224-3121. I'll say it again. 202-224-3121. That's the U.S. Capitol switchboard, and you can call that number and tell the operator what state you live in and be directed to each of your U.S. senator's offices.
And your representative.
And then you probably will need to give your zip code to be directed to your House member.
Mm-hmm.
You'll probably need to call three separate times
to
get all three of those people. And tell them what it is that you want to see them do. They need to be hearing from us very loudly in this time that, you know, unlike the last financial crash of 2008 when the U.S. government bailed out banks, remember that? And left homeowners who were hung out to dry, just left them hang out to dry. You know, this is, we got to do it differently this time. We need the government to bail out the people.
Yeah.
We need people to be taken care of, which probably means cash payments.
Yep.
On an ongoing basis for people who fall through the cracks of things like unemployment insurance.
Yeah, like they were talking just this morning in sort of braggy tones about how, hey, we're advancing a bill right now to guarantee $1,000 cash payments to every adult. Like, yeah, man, I mean, that's great if it happens every month.
And even then, what is $1,000 going to do to help people pay their mortgages or their rent and all the bills they have and put food on the table? I mean, there's not like an easy solution here. This is not simple, but they need to be thinking a lot bigger than they currently are.
Yep.
And frankly, there are a crap load of millionaires out there, billionaires who have just stores of money.
Yeah.
That they need to be, the government needs to be
taking
money from them to help the rest of us.
Yeah.
It's obscene. This is the time. This is the time we are reaping from the fact that the fact of wealth and income inequality in this country that our government has allowed to fester for 40 years.
Yeah.
This is the time. I'm sorry. I'm getting all emotional and upset.
Aww,
and I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
So call, you know, this is the thing. Like yesterday I was thinking about, you know, and it's one of my recovery tools. Like, okay, in any situation where I'm feeling powerless or if I'm feeling overwhelmed, it's really helpful for me to identify categories in my mind. I have like columns in my mind of things that are under my control and things that are not.
Yeah.
Things I have power to change and things I do not.
Yep.
And the things I do not have power to change, I put them in the column and then I just have to set them aside. Like they are, I cannot consider that. But then there's these things in the column of things I can change. And like one of those things is calling my representatives in Congress right now. You know, and that one small action, does my particular action matter that much? No, but that's the whole point.
You're
is that
part of a group.
I'm part of a group doing it.
Yeah.
Just me social distancing this week isn't going to save lives.
No.
But me plus everybody else getting on board.
Yeah.
Is what will save lives. We all need to be part of this. And hey, you're home anyway. Pick up the phone and call Congress.
Yeah, seriously. You know? Yeah.
So
Alexa, anyway. Call Congress.
Alexa, call Congress. Shoot. Sorry, everybody with Alexis. So, yeah. So that's, you know, and honestly, that's been one of my coping mechanisms is to identify where I have the power to affect change and do those things, even if they're small.
Yeah.
But there's been other things too, right? Like they're just coping mechanisms around here. Mm-hmm. We've been talking a lot. We talked about that.
Yep. Working on music has felt really good, honestly. Yeah. Like I really do feel lucky that this is our time of year to do that because like I personally have like 4 different records I'm working on.
That's great.
Which means like I can just put myself into a different little dreamland, you know?
It's helpful.
I've been in Shannon Curtis dreamland over the past few days. We're working on the first one of your songs. It's coming out amazing. It's just been very rewarding. Mm-hmm. Real fun to see that come together.
Yeah.
I'll probably pivot today and work on someone else's music. I've got this ambient pedal steel record that I'm mixing for this guy who lives in Tennessee. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've got at least a couple of songs in my Dropbox that I can start working on for him, and that puts me in a really nice spacey place.
Yeah,
that's really a healthy feeling.
Yeah, we did a vocal recording the other night for this first song of mine for this record that we've been working on, and it took us several hours to record this vocal. We recorded the whole lead part and then all the backing parts and stuff, and just it takes a long time.
And you know, when I produce a vocal, it's not like I do one or two takes and I'm like, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm focusing on single words for 25 minutes at a time. And to your vast credit, you know this now and can keep up with me, which is great. Yeah. There's certain people I can do this with and certain people I can't. But when I can, I love it because we can just get the most nuanced performances.
Yeah. I'm totally down for it.
Yeah.
So it was like several hours of me sitting in front of this microphone and you know, working through this with you. And I, during those hours, like completely forgot about what was going on the outside world. Like my mind just went completely elsewhere. When we started to, you know, clean up and I was coiling cables, it all came rushing back to me like a sock of rocks, you know, like hitting me in the chest.
Yeah.
It was just, oh, that's right, global pandemic, what the heck. Yeah. But for those hours, it really did me good to be lost in something else.
Yeah. Exercising has felt real good to me. Something I've been doing over the past, like, couple weeks. I haven't even told you about this, but I've been exercising with my eyes closed.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Because and how is that helpful?
The way it's helpful is that I find that I focus much more on just my body's little movements. Like I'm not distracted by visual things, right? By something out a window or the spine of a record. I exercise in our living room. You know, I move the coffee table aside and I exercise on the carpet because it's a little cushiony so I can do floor work on it without it hurting my back like a wood floor would, you know? And you know, there's records there. I found myself in previous, you know, years, I've realized just looking at the records and the jackets and the spines and not really thinking so presently about what my body's doing, what every little motion feels like, how it's feeling, where the energy's going, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I found that I've been getting a much higher quality workout with my eyes closed and with them open.
It's kind of like you're doing meditation during your workout or something.
It really feels like that. Like, you know, because I always do like 50 sit-ups. You know, each morning. And, you know, I really find that if I'm doing it with my eyes closed, like I just focus on making each sit up as perfect as it can be, you know, and see if by the end of it, I feel like I have done like 50 as close to perfect sit ups as I can. And it really feels good. Like I can feel the value and I can actually see different results. Interestingly.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. It's odd, but really, really cool.
Well, that's good. For some people, actual meditation does really help. And that's something that,
I've never been great at just meditating, but bringing meditative qualities to other aspects of my day-to-day life is something that I've gotten relatively good at.
That's great.
Which I think it's along the path, you know?
Yeah, we went outside yesterday. We went for a walk along the waterfront up at the north tip of town on this waterfront park. And that was really nice, you know, you know, the social distancing thing. And when we encountered someone else on the path, you know, stepping aside with enough distance between us that, you know, we weren't going to catch anything or spread anything.
Yep.
But it was really good to be outdoors and get some sunshine and be near the water. And the mountain was out and that was really good.
All the mountains were out.
Yeah.
Every single mountain and foothill in three directions. From that park, you can see east and north and west. And to the east, of course, there's the big mountain and its attendant foothills, and those are beautiful. To the north, slightly northeast, there's the foothills sort of beyond Seattle.
Yeah, yeah.
And then to the west was the Olympics. And each of them right now is covered on top with snow and was lit dramatically with shadows and just stunning.
So pretty. Yeah, it was great. And you know, it's tempting. I was talking with a friend online this morning. He was like, I'm feeling depressed already. I think I'm just going to pull the covers over my head and just sleep until this is all over, you know? And and hey, you know what? If you need to sleep, sleep.
Yeah.
That's, you know, like that's perfectly legit.
Sure.
But also, you know, I was trying to encourage her, like, you know, getting outside might also feel really good. And like, being outside is not prohibitive behavior, you know, as long as you can stay away from
prohibited behavior.
Yeah, prohibited, excuse me. Mm-hmm. As long as you can stay away from other humans, you know, take a walk around the block.
Yeah.
Get to the park near your house and, you know, and soak up some sun. We're going to need, like, I think we're going to be in this for the long haul. We're going to need to develop habits that are, that can sustain us.
We were reading something just this morning that it's entirely possible that social distancing might need to continue for a year or more.
It might.
Which, holy shit.
And it's all, you know, it's all changing in real time and we're going to learn more as we go and like, who knows, but yes, that there are some people who are suggesting that this, it might be the case that we need to adopt these new habits of ours for a very long time, a lot longer than any of us are currently really thinking about. And, you know, and on that topic, like, I was glad to read that article just in terms of like kind of putting a pin in one of the possibilities of how this might shake out. But for me personally, I can't take in all that, the ramifications of that right now, right? So like for me personally, I need to just take this in chunks.
Yeah.
So right now, you know, the orders that are in place like around here with bars and restaurants closed and, you know, that kind of stuff and, you know, asking us to stay inside if we can and not congregate in groups larger than, is the ordinance 50 in the Washington right now? But
yeah,
CDC was saying 10 yesterday, 10 people. You know, these things are in place, quote unquote, for the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, it's going to be longer than that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to just go ahead and just take this bite-sized chunk.
Yes.
And accept this. Because I think that for me personally and how I know my psychology works, it's easier for me to take it in that chunk. And then, you know, when they reevaluate in a couple weeks and we need to extend that, okay, let's take it for that chunk.
Yep.
You know, like that works for me personally and I can handle it in that way. But, this is interesting times.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, side note on about independent artists. Obviously, you know, you and I, because we are a married pair of working independent artists, are especially attuned to that community's needs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, because you and I are who we are and have the interests we have, we're both subscribed to email things, you know, that come from, you know, people
various
concerned
artists
with independent art. Yeah. And you know, there's this thing going around right now, all this messaging around like buy merch and music directly from artists you love in this time.
Mm-hmm. Which is good.
It's good. It's good. But you know, it also, like, I have a word of caution about that, right? It's appropriate that we should all be incredibly concerned about the independent artists in our lives right now because a lot of people's incomes are drying up. I mean, you and me among them, right?
Right.
And so I think that, yes, it's good in the short term. Yeah, go buy some merch and music directly from an artist as directly as possible from their Bandcamp page or their Big Cartel site or wherever they're selling
their
stuff. Wherever they're selling it directly so they'll get, you know, minus tax and shipping, all of the proceeds from it, you know? That's good and that's helpful. That's also a very one-time, short-term, small thing. And it's if you want to do that, that's good. But, you know, don't let that scratch your itch for helping these people.
Or advocating for them in general for, like, bigger relief than that.
Yeah, don't let that scratch your itch. Like, you should still feel itchy about that when you're done doing that because they're going to need ongoing support. Things are just going to need to change in a fundamental way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you feel motivated, if you feel moved to go, you know, to give in some fashion independent artists some money right now, please do that.
Mm-hmm.
It will not hurt. It will help.
Mm-hmm.
But don't let that check a box for you. Like, okay, well, now I've supported the independent artists in my life. Moving on.
And they're going to be able to pay their rent and eat food for the next year. No problem.
Yeah.
No, like we're going to need artists are in that category of freelancers and gig workers. They're going to need more ongoing support. And it's not like, it's not like our economy is going to be in this sort of situation where people can just go get a job.
That's right.
You know, like, or go get a different job than the one they've been doing. You know, it's we're in new territory. Holy moly.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's wild times. But again, you know, we're going to need the federal government to get involved in a massive way with a massive relief effort.
Call Congress.
Call Congress.
So, you know, we've kind of gotten through, I think, most of the bullet points that we wanted to cover, but this was not on our list. And I think maybe it just would be a good way to sort of sum up right now. Because this is, you know, on this podcast, we talk about real stuff and we try to talk about it in as honest and open a way and a vulnerable way as we can. Mm-hmm. And very often that means that we end up a conversation with, "Welp, yeah, we don't really have any solutions."
Yeah. What do you think, dear listeners?
Yeah. You know, but I think that probably this time that we're all facing right now is going to be a lot of that. It's going to be a lot of processing stuff that's coming at us, processing the, you know, the experiences that we're having, mm-hmm, as we see this thing really define our time right now.
We're going to be learning together in real time.
And I think it's really important to understand that it is okay for us to not get it right.
Yep.
The first time out, it's okay for us to all be learning together. We need to support each other in that. Mm-hmm. We need to give ourselves and each other a whole lot of grace in this time. And you know, we're gonna not do it right sometimes. We're gonna get it way wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
This is a massive, massive challenge that is going to require each of us to muster the best of ourselves to face.
Yeah.
And you know, who knows how it's gonna all turn out?
Yeah.
But
one day at a time.
Yeah, and I want you all to know that we're gonna do our best.
Yeah.
To live through this in as open a real and a real of way as to hopefully be of service to our community. So that's our commitment.
Yep.
Sorry for the tears.
It is absolutely okay, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an appropriate reaction right now.
Sure.
Yeah. So people, thanks for listening. We care about all you guys so much. I use the masculine plural there. We care about you all so much. Please let us know what you need, you know, like if we can help, if you need someone to talk to, we're around. You know how to get in touch with us. We're pretty online a lot of the time. And, you know, we'll do what we can. And we'll also let you know if and when we have figured out what we need and what our... how our life is going to change, because it's going to change, you know, everything's going to change, you know, for better or for worse. We have, you know, we've committed our lives to this unusual independent art experiment, you know, and we will be learning in real time with you all what that looks like, because things are going to change for us too.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, so much. Yeah, is there anything else? I'm just sort of scrolling up here. Oh, yeah, so here's a thing. So if you're listening to this and you're like, gosh, I would like to help Shannon and Jamie right now. Well, first of all, thank you. We're gonna need some of that. We'll have a more formalized and better understanding of what that will look like after we've whiteboarded it and kind of figured out what makes the most sense and how best to roll it out. Yeah. But I can tell you this. Here's the thing. If you are listening to this podcast and you are not yet a supporting member, a great way to be of small to large help to us, mm-hmm, is to become a supporting member of the podcast. The deal is that you just go to misfitstars.com/join. It's a monthly recurring subscription, not unlike how you might support your local NPR station. You know what I mean? And so if you would, basically that's a way that we aggregate a small amount of predictable monthly income. And if you become a supporting member, what you're doing is in your small way, adding to that pool, that growing, hopefully, pool of sustainable, like predictable monthly income. And so, you know, we have $5, $10, and $20 levels that are preset, but you can name your own price for any of them. So if you want to go in at the, and there's little thank yous. The thank yous aren't the point. The point is that this is a way that we give our community to hopefully, you know, if they want to be supportive of us to do so. But, you know, I will say that at the $10 level, you get a sweet t-shirt. At the $20 level, you get a t-shirt and an amazing coffee mug. I love my Misfit Stars coffee mug so much that it's the only coffee mug I've been using lately. It's one of those sweet 15-ouncers that you can also use for tea, and it's just wonderful. Got the beautiful sort of Misfit Stars Starfield logo. It's great. And you can, you know, say that you are in a position to do even more than that and you want to. First of all, thank you. That's meaningful. Second of all, you just, you know, click on the one that you want the stuff for and then name your own price. There's no upward limit. You know, and if Jeff Bezos is listening to this, and if you do anything less than $1,000 a month, Mr. Bezos, you're being a dick. Because that's like pocket change.
Also take care of your employees.
Take care of your employees, please. Yeah. You know, but you can use that. If you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, I do want to help these two, it's a way you can do it.
Yeah.
So just go to misfitstars.com/join. If you're a current supporting member and you would like to, or you're in the position to increase your level of support and you would like to help us in that way, we could honestly use it at this point. You just go to misfitstars.com/level up to level yourself up to a new plane, a new plane of existence vis-a-vis your support of this podcast and what we do.
Thank you all so much.
Yeah, very much. But that's it, really. Most important thing for us, honestly, is that this is an amazing community we've aggregated around ourselves. And just, you know, if you're hearing my voice right now, you're part of that. And we're grateful for that. And thank you. We cherish each of you, that we have been able to become so close with so many far-flung people in the world. That's the biggest thing that we've done with our lives, as far as I can tell, you know? Mm. It's like we have this amazing, like, it's like we have 7,000 cousins, you know? All of whom I really like.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool. We're very fortunate in that regard. So yeah. Thanks for being part of that.
Yeah. And we will be back again next week, which no doubt will feel like another year.
Yep.
And we'll surely have more to talk about then. But until then, take good care of yourselves.
Yeah, we love you guys.
And really, let's take care of each other.
Yep.
Also. All right. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Talk to you guys soon.
Bye.
See ya.